Chapter 2. The Aristotle Debate. Plot versus Character. The terms plot-driven and character-driven were invented by film critics in the mid-20th century to mark the difference between Hollywood movies and European cinema, or, in their view, between mass entertainment and artistic sophistication. Soon after, book reviewers began writing in a similar vein about literary novels versus bestsellers. Off-Broadway originally served as a proving ground for Broadway, but in the 1960s, the New York theater world drew the line between art and money along 42nd Street. This pattern repeated itself in the English theater between tradition-bound stages in the West End of London and the avant-garde on the fringe. Years later, U.S. television divided into subscription versus advertisement-funded programming, pitting streaming's character-driven art for adult audiences against the commercial network's plot-driven entertainment for family viewers. Aristotle's Rankings. This divide has an ancient pedigree. In his Poetics, Aristotle ranked the six components of dramatic art from top to bottom in terms of their creative difficulty and importance to the work, as 1. Plot, 2. Character, 3. Meaning, 4. Dialogue, 5. Music, 6. Spectacle. He believed that events demand greater artistry to create and impact audiences with greater power than do characters. His opinion held sway for 2 millennia, but beginning with Don Quixote, the novel evolved into the dominant storytelling medium, and by the end of the 19th century, writers about writing reversed Aristotle's top 2, declaring that what the reader really wants is memorable characters. A plot string of events, they claimed, is simply the writer's clothesline to display his characters. This theory conceives of plot as actions and reactions on the physical and social planes, while it confines character to thoughts and feelings in the conscious and subconscious spheres. In fact, these 4 domains are mutually influential. When a character witnesses an event, his senses convey it to his mind instantly, so that the event happens to him internally at virtually the same moment it happens externally in his world. The reverse is also true. When a character makes a decision, this internal event becomes external as he puts it into action. External and internal events flow fluidly through the senses from level to level, inside to outside and back, each affecting the other. Restricting the definition of plot to external actions misses the vast majority of what happens in a human being's life. The plot-driven versus character-driven debate is specious and has been since Aristotle made his list. Questioning which is creatively more difficult and aesthetically more significant, plot or character, commits a categorical error. It's illogical to ask which of the two is more than the other because they are, in essence, the same. Plot is character. Character is plot. The two are back-to-back sides of the same storied coin. A role does not become a character until an event brings his actions and reactions to life. An incident does not become a storied event until a character causes and/or experiences its change. A person untouched by events is a standalone, unlived, static portrait best hung on a wall. An activity without a character is like a rainy day on an ocean, a repetitious, trivial, uninvolving non-event. To understand this distinction in depth, we need to define terms. Character, plot, event. Character names a fictional being who either causes events to happen or reacts when someone or something else causes them, or both. Plot names a story's arrangement of events. A plotless story, therefore, does not exist. If it's a story, it has a pattern of events, aka a plot. If it's a plot, it lays out a pattern of events, aka a story. No matter how brief the tale, all storytellers plot what happens to whom, and thus design events. As a work of fiction performs through time, it can be told in countless variations and departures from the classical form, shifts in point of view, events clustered thematically, events progressed causally, stories within stories, flashbacks, repetition, ellipses, the believable, the fantastic, all depending on what best serves the writer's vision. But no matter how a story's event design entices curiosity, readers and audiences are ultimately anchored to the telling through its characters. The term shared by both definitions is event. So let's define it with precision. The dictionary definition of an everyday event is something that happens. In a story, however, if what happens changes nothing of value, the event has no meaning. If, for example, a passing breeze rearranges leaves on a lawn, things change, but that event is meaningless because it's valueless. For the storyteller, value is defined as a binary human experience that can change its charge from positive to negative or negative to positive. For example, life, death, justice, injustice, pleasure, pain, freedom, slavery, good, evil, intimacy, indifference, right, wrong, meaningful, meaningless, human, inhuman, unity, disunity, beautiful, ugly, and on goes the virtually endless list of polarized changes that charge life with significance. The art of story, therefore, makes an event meaningful by imbuing it with a value. For example, if something happened that caused one character to change feelings toward another from love, positive, to hate, negative, that event becomes meaningful because the value of love-hate changed its charge from positive to negative, or the reverse. If an event caused a character's finances to pivot from poor, negative, to rich, positive, that change becomes meaningful because the value of poverty, wealth, underwent a movement from negative to positive. A storied event, therefore, is a moment of value-charged change in a character's life. The cause of this change is either an action taken by the character or a reaction by the character to an event outside his control. In either case, the event reverses the charge of value at stake in his life. Two sides, same coin. An event's two sides, same coin, double effect becomes vividly clear when turning points pivot around either revelations or decisions. By revelation, for example, in the act two climax of Chinatown, the protagonist, J.J. Gittes, played by Jack Nicholson, accuses Evelyn Mulray, played by Faye Dunaway, of murdering her husband. In reaction, she confesses not to committing murder, but to incest with her father and giving birth to their daughter. Gittes instantly realizes that her father, Noah Cross, played by John Huston, killed his son-in-law because he wants illicit possession of his granddaughter's daughter. This revelation of the true killer suddenly reverses the plot from negative to positive. At the same time, we get a rush of insight into Evelyn, all she has suffered, and her courage to battle her lunatic father. By decision. At this point, Gittes could call the police, give them his evidence, and stand back while the cops arrest Noah Cross. Instead, he decides to go after the killer on his own. This choice turns the plot dangerously negative for the protagonist and simultaneously spotlights his fatal flaw, blind pride. Gittes is the kind of man who will risk his life rather than ask for help. The terms event and character simply name two angles on turning points. Looking at story from the outside in, we see them as events. From the inside out, we experience them as character. Without events, nothing is done by or happens to characters. Without characters, no one causes or reacts to events. As Henry James put it, quote, "What is character but the determination of incident? What is incident but the illustration of character? It is an incident for a woman to stand up with her hand resting on a table and look out at you in a certain way. If not an incident, I think it hard to say what it is. Character, in any sense in which we can get at it, is action, and action is plot." Unquote. Suppose you were writing a story that contained a Henry Jamesian incident. Your protagonist, in great jeopardy, knowing that a lie will save him, stands up, puts his hand on a table, and looks at a woman in a certain way that expresses a dark, painful truth. His decision and action spin his life from positive to negative as he suffers the consequences. At the same time, his choice, his action, and its outcome express his true character, a courageously honest man. Let's say that this is the best scene in your story, but powerful as it is, a problem arises downstream. As you finish the telling, you realize that your last act's climax falls flat, and because your ending fails, all your creative work from the beginning ultimately fails with it. What to do? You will find a saving solution in one of two places, character or event. Event design. You could reverse the turning point. Instead of having your protagonist tell the truth, he lies to gain power and money. That rewrite may set up a satisfying climax, but at the same time, it radically reverses his moral core. He's now a rich but corrupted man. If you like that character change, problem solved. Character design. When you step back to study your protagonist's psychology, you realize that your climax lacks impact because your character is so sweet and innocent, your ending is unconvincing. So you darken him morally and then rewrite him as a tough survivor. How do you express this change of true character? Redesign events to dramatize his new, shrewd, duplicitous self. If these new turning points set up a strong payoff at climax, problem solved. Once again, for clarity's sake, a plot event turns a value charge in a character's life. A character either acts to cause these events or reacts when external forces do the same. So, to change a character's nature, you have to redesign events to express who he has become. To change events, you have to reinvent your character's psychology so he will make convincing new choices to take new actions. Therefore, neither plot nor character can be more creative or more important. Why didn't Aristotle see this? One possible answer may lie in his admiration for Sophocles' play Oedipus Rex. Oedipus investigates a horrific crime only to discover that he is both its victim and its villain. Events beyond his control, events he does everything to escape but cannot, ruthlessly propel his fate and crush him. Gripped by the tragic beauty of Oedipus Rex, far and away the finest play of his era, Aristotle implored other playwrights to equal its sublime power. So it's possible that Sophocles' portrayal of the irresistible force of fate moved the philosopher to overvalue events and undervalue character. A second, and more likely reason, however, is aesthetic convention. The playwrights of Athens did not write with an awareness of subtext. In fact, actors wore masks to express their character's essence. If one character lied to another, the audience would, of course, sense an unspoken subtext. But for the most part, characters said what they meant in full. Aristotle, therefore, gave what happens more weight than to whom it happens. Today's authors, guided by centuries of psychological insights, separate true character from characterization. Characterization versus true character. Characterization. All observable traits and outer behaviors, the composite of age, gender, race, speech and gestures, job and home, dress and fashion, attitudes and personality. In short, the masks or personae a character wears as he carries out his relationships with other people. These details provide clues to a character's identity, but readers and audiences know that appearance is not reality, that characters are not who they seem to be. True character. A character's unseen inner nature, his deepest motivations and rock-bottom values. When confronted by life's greatest pressures, this core reveals itself in the choices he makes and the actions he takes in pursuit of his most consuming desires. These decisions and deeds express his core identity. Outer traits of characterization anchor a character's credibility, while the inner qualities of true character shape the character and his future. If the reader audience does not believe that he would do the things he does, say the things he says, pursue the desires he pursues, the storytelling fails. His essential self makes the choices and takes the actions that act out a story's happenings and set up its future events. True character and characterization combine to create a believable role in a believable telling, true in ancient times as well as today. But because the poetics did not separate their functions, the plot versus character debate became an apples-oranges fallacy. Characters are designed to either solve or fail to solve the problems they face. Stories are designed to express the traits and qualities of characters as they struggle with their problems. A plot's events are what its characters do. Characters are the vehicles who cause and/or carry out a plot's events. When we weigh the two, they balance each other perfectly. For well over a century, author scholars from Henry James to David Lodge have proclaimed this logical interdependence. So why has the character-driven, plot-driven argument dragged on into the 21st century? Because what looks like an aesthetic debate actually masks the cultural politics of taste, class, and most of all, money. The phrase character-driven is code for, quote, a superior work of art made not for profit but love, best interpreted by academic critics, appreciated only by an intellectual elite, and ideally financed by public funds, unquote. Versus plot-driven as code for the opposite, quote, a trivial work, written by hacks, laced with cliches, aimed at the undereducated, too trite to be of critical interest, and made for corporate profit, unquote. The belief that giving more emphasis to what happens than to whom it happens causes second-rate art is, quite obviously, absurd. Homer's Odyssey, Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea, Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, and, if we lower the snobbery volume, Michael Frayn's farce Noises Off, are all plot-driven masterpieces. On the other hand, how many superficial, overwritten, underexpressed, characterization-thick tortures on page, stage, and screen have you suffered through? In truth, neither tack guarantees anything. Politics aside, the deep difference between these two components lies in the story's primal source of cause and effect. The terms character-driven and plot-driven make creative sense only when they name a story's dominant causality, not its aesthetic value. When your work in progress stalls, you will find a creative solution by asking the big question. What makes things happen? Plot-driven stories put major turning points, especially the inciting incident, beyond the character's control. More often than not, these happenings deliver a negative impact and come from one of three levels of conflict. One, natural causes, dire weather, disease, fires, earthquakes, alien invasions, or other acts of God. Two, social causes, crime, war, man-made disasters, private and public corruption, acts of racial, gender, or class injustices, and the like. 3. Chance. A winning lottery ticket, an automobile accident, the genes one is born with, and most of all, blind luck. All the coincidences, good or bad, that flow through these levels. Character-driven stories do the opposite. They put major events in the character's hands. In these tellings, the choices and actions the characters make and take cause what happens. Not chance, not overpowering global or natural forces, but personal choices, powered by a free will, drive the telling. Therefore, the 6 key differences between plot-driven and character-driven stories are 1. Causality. In the plot-driven story, the forces that trigger key turning points emanate from outside or beyond the character's reach. Criminals commit crimes. Dictators declare war. Plagues sweep the world. Aliens invade the earth. The sun falls from the sky. The character-driven story reverses that. Its dominant causalities stem from conscious and subconscious energies that move a character to want what he wants, choose what he chooses, and act the way he acts. He falls in love, commits a crime, blows the whistle on his boss, runs away from home, believes someone's lie, searches for the truth. 2. Identity. As we'll see in chapters that follow, desire helps shape a character's identity. A plot-driven story calls for a protagonist driven by a desire that originates outside of himself. A character-driven story favors a protagonist who follows a desire that originated within himself. 3. Values. In a purely plot-driven story, the protagonist struggles to give the world what it lacks, expressed in values such as peace, war, justice, injustice, wealth, poverty, brotherhood, selfhood, health, disease, and the like. In a purely character-driven story, the protagonist struggles to fulfill what he personally lacks, expressed in values such as love-hate, maturity-immaturity, truth-lie, trust-distrust, hope-despair, and the like. 4. Depth. Plot-driven genres rarely develop the subconscious or irrational in their characters. Ethan Hunt, for example, obeys one conscious, logical desire: to repair a broken, unjust world. He and his IMF team therefore invent a plan, cleverly execute its steps, fix what's wrong, and restore justice. If in the midst of all this, Ethan were also haunted by an unresolved childhood trauma, his high-speed fun would sour faster than old milk. Plot-driven stories enrich the telling with details drawn from their social and physical settings, imagery from mountaintops to tuxedos, sounds from bird songs to machinery fascinate the eye and ear. Character-driven genres layer their telling with psychological contradictions. They bury unknown desires deep within a character and then bring these impulses into conflict with his rationalizations. As these character-focused tales reach into the depths, they at least touch, if not invade, the subconscious. In Tennessee Williams's A Streetcar Named Desire, the play's protagonist, Blanche DuBois, repeatedly says that all she wants is to live happily in this world. But the brutality and ugliness of her ghetto life make that impossible. In truth, she subconsciously wants the opposite, and ultimately achieves that deep desire at the play's climax as she escapes reality and into insanity. The depth of character is a measure of inner complexity, but a character cannot have greater complexity than the forces of antagonism he confronts in life. How can we sense his depths if his conflicts don't expose them? 5. Curiosity. Character-driven works minimize physical and social conflicts to focus on personal wars within and between characters. The question, "What will this character do?" grips the reader's and audience's curiosity. The answer, when well written, is unpredictable and delivers sudden surprise. Shakespeare, the grand master of psychological realism, breathed a spirit of unpredictability into the hearts of all his principal characters. His romantic couples, for example, range in tone from the clownish Touchstone and Audrey in As You Like It to the sophisticated Beatrice and Benedict in Much Ado About Nothing, and the tragic Antony and Cleopatra. And yet, all these lovers jolt our expectations and amaze even themselves. Touchstone doesn't understand why he wants to marry Audrey, but he does so on impulse. Beatrice shocks Benedict when she asks him to commit murder. The heroic Mark Antony, in the midst of a raging sea battle, suddenly turns coward and chases after the woman he loves. Whether comic, romantic, or tragic, stunned by their own impulsiveness, they all look at themselves and ask, "What have I done?" Because plot-driven works eliminate inner conflicts, they must instead polarize their principles socially. Action heroes right injustices and save victims. Action villains commit atrocities and kill the innocent. Because we know who they are and what they will do, these works compel curiosity by inventing radical weaponry that makes us wonder, how will they do it? DC and Marvel superheroes such as Wonder Woman, Superman, Spider-Man, and Storm command either magical or biological powers in unique and fascinating ways to save and protect life. Antiheroes such as Deadpool, Loki, Black Widow, and Catwoman also command unique powers, but to rule over or destroy life. 6. Freedom versus fate. Freedom and fate are elusive but ever-present beliefs. Belief in freedom suggests a future that's unknown, a mysterious terminus, one of many possible destinations that will always be hidden until life's last moment. Fate, or destiny, on the other hand, feels as if an invisible, inevitable karmic force shapes our lives to an unavoidable event at the end point of our days. To the ancient Greeks, fate seemed so real they personified it into three goddesses. To this day, people still use the phrase, the hand of fate. The concepts of fate and freedom intertwine with the crafting of story in fascinating ways. When a story begins, the reader audience looks toward a future where everything seems possible. The telling seems free to travel in 1,000, even random directions in pursuit of its destiny. But once a story climaxes and we look back to the beginning, we realize that the path the telling took was inevitable, fated. These two viewpoints play out differently in plot and character-driven stories. At the inciting incident of an exclusively plot-driven action story, characters pursue either a positive or a negative destiny. At the climax, now that readers and audiences grasp the characters' natures and tactics, they see that the telling had to happen exactly the fated way it did. Predetermined people collide in predetermined ways. Heroes do selfless deeds to satisfy a need for altruism. It's who they are. Villains do sadistic deeds to feed their lust for power. It's who they are. The rigid natures of these mono-characters drive them to their fate. Contrarywise, when a purely character-driven work begins, we sense that the future hinges on contradictory forces dueling within complex characters as each struggles to make choices and take actions in pursuit of desires. In Herman Diaz's In the Distance, for example, the novel's protagonist, Hakan, spends a lifetime searching for his lost brother in every way humanly possible. At the story's climax, as we look back to the beginning, we once again sense inevitability, but in this case, it was due to contradictory forces at war within the central character. His choices during pressure-filled turning points express his essential nature, but the sense of fate seems less inevitable. The telling could have gone 100 different ways because Hakan is always free to choose a different path. In all stories, the sense of fate versus freedom depends on where we stand in the course of the telling. At the inciting incident, we imagine the freedom of countless possible destinies. At climax, we sense inevitability to a greater or lesser degree. In truth, nothing has any plans for us. Fate has no goddesses, no hands. It's simply the mirage that appears when we gaze back on events through retrospective time. Melding plot and character. These two treatments of fate and freedom are at the extremes of plot-driven and character-driven tellings. Life, on the other hand, flows through a complex of reasons. Fine storytellers seldom choose one source of causality exclusively over another. Balanced causes. Most authors seek a balance that mixes motivated choices with unmotivated happenstance. They blend events from both inside and outside the character's control because no matter what causes things to happen, when it does, characters must react to change. Once an accident smashes into life, it immediately becomes a test of character for the survivors. Shakespeare began his every play plot-driven. He worked from either histories recorded by English, Greek, or Scandinavian chroniclers such as Holinshed, Plutarch, and Saxo Grammaticus, or from fictional plots invented by other playwrights, most often Italians. As a result, sword fights and suicides, ghosts and witches, shipwrecks and wars, as well as boy meets girl disguised as boy, were among his favorite motifs. He then reshaped these tales into his own unique event designs, inventing brilliant protagonists and supporting casts to act them out. The same was true, for example, of Joseph Conrad, who created grand plot-driven adventures, An Outcast of the Islands, Heart of Darkness, Lord Jim, Nostromo, The Secret Agent. But by the final page, they feel, like Shakespeare's plays, character-driven. In his novel Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe warned his fellow fiction writers that random external forces are just as vital to the artist as thought-provoked conflicts storming inside a character's mind. He urged a balance of causalities, hoping to offset German Strom and Drang propensity to reduce all storytelling to emotional extremes of abnormal psychology. Consider the problem of causal balance in the most plot-driven genre of all, the war story. Homer's Iliad, progenitor of all combat epics, tilts the balance toward enormous military and physical forces lashed by the whims of bickering gods. Whereas Nicholas Montserrat's World War II classic, The Cruel Sea, leans in the opposite direction, focusing on psychology. As naval battles on the raging North Atlantic pound their ship, captain and crew war with fear and must choose, moment by moment, how to react and act in the face of death. More recently, Carl Marlante's Vietnam War novel, Matterhorn, strikes a horrific balance between furious jungle combat that rips the mind apart and the power of moral character to counterattack, survive, and hold the mind together. Character-driven stories do not necessarily dramatize complex psychologies, nor do plot-driven stories require cliched heroes and villains. For example, Boys Don't Cry features a one-dimensional protagonist surrounded by hard asses and pickup trucks, and yet the film is decidedly character-driven because no matter how narrow-minded they may be, the antagonists control what happens. On the other hand, Joseph Conrad laces his protagonist of Lord Jim with psychological complexity, but then lets the social forces surrounding Jim infect his guilt-ridden angst, limit his reactions, and eventually overwhelm him. However balance is struck, at the end of the day, the answer to all plot questions is found in character. Never ask open-minded questions such as, what happens? Rather, what happens to my character? How will it happen to him? Why does it happen to him and not her? What changes his life? Why does it change in that particular way? What will happen in his future? Direct all plot questions into your characters' lives. Otherwise, they're pointless. Unified causes. No matter a story's balance of outer and inner causality, the ideal outcome unifies character and plot in the mind of the reader audience. A character's change of mind about whom he loves could deliver an impact equal to or surpassing a soldier betraying his comrades in battle. In both cases, the event not only turns a value charge, but simultaneously reveals the role's true character. In fine writing, no matter the genre, external events cause inner changes that expose and alter true character. Inner desires drive choices and actions that cause external events. The two, character and plot, become a seamless one. A last note. If you're wondering where your story stands in the Aristotle debate, plot-driven, character-driven, or a balance of the two, simply list all your scenes and divide their turning points into those caused by character choice versus those caused by forces beyond their reach. Whichever way your story leans, no one source of causality is more inspirational than another. Eventually, the way things happen will argue it out somewhere in the middle of your mind.